Yo, what's up, Square Pimp Gang? On this episode, we got my boy Nico White. Really enjoy watching this kid grow up in the whole comedy game. We talk about performing for rough crowds, the importance of a dad and mom giving you guidance, deviating from your life plan of being the best version of yourself, whatever that is, and not dating comedians.
That's right.
Dope, man. I love this dude.
It's a great conversation about just, you know, not so much relationship stuff, but just priority stuff.
But life stuff.
Yeah. And listen, thank you for joining us for the regular show, but we also do the Patreon, and that's where we do the bonus episodes and listener mail, and we do listener mail after this episode. It's patreon.com/manschool202, and it helps us support the show, and that's where you get the bonus content. So join us over at Patreon when you get a chance.
Yeah, and yeah, please do that. Support us on that. It helps us to keep doing what we've been doing. So if you like the content, please subscribe. I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? What's up, Square Pimpigate on GYBB? Get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution's being podcasted, and I am fucking excited.
Nice.
I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it.
Nice. Finally.
Because my dude is in the building.
Oh, man.
First of all, Harry, how you doing? You ready to rock
I'm
and roll?
I'm doing excellent.
I don't want to waste no time talking about you.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
The GOAT, man. What's
we're not going to talk about my excellent hair day? All right, fine.
No,
we don't have time.
No, we ain't got time. Let me introduce my dude. Man, how can I say? I've known this dude since he's 17 years old.
Yes,
starting comedy as a young upstart. Comedy Central, just all kinds of shit. Put a dope album out. Man, I watched this dude grow from the very beginning, and I'm really... give it up for Nico White. Let's do that first, yeah, right?
Family, thank y'all for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
I want to say... I'm not overstepping my bounds because I've seen you since you was a child.
Yes. You met me when I was 16, not 17.
Wow.
I started when I was 14, not 17.
Really? So where were you at in when you were 14?
Oh, bro, I was everywhere. That's the thing. So
were you always in Brooklyn? You were a New Yorker always.
Always.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
Born and raised here. So when you met me was when I started coming around Times Square Arts Center, right?
Okay.
Right when we were doing that little group thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I first met you. I was 16. And I remember because you were the first person I ever seen that had that bone in their ear.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
But before then, I had been primarily just at the clubs, like Stand Up New York, Laugh Lounge, Broadway, all that stuff. Getting up and doing the thing. And that was, you've always been dope, always been supportive of me. So, pleasure to be here.
It's just so dope to watch. Like, because when you see a young dude come in the game, you be like, let me see if this motherfucker sticks it out. And I know you're kind of, I'm not going to call you an OG yet, but you, like, it's you almost there.
I'm taking it. You ain't going to call me at 15 years.
This 15, career, 15, yeah,
my,
man.
My career is going to be a year older than I was when I started.
That's
in
crazy.
September.
That's so crazy. Because you know what I mean. It's like many dudes come in this game and they dabbling and then there's a camaraderie that we have about us sticking it out.
Right.
Because it's hard. I mean, T.I. doesn't think it's hard.
Not at all.
I wonder if he thinks that. I'm pretty sure if you ask him now, he would tell you that.
I don't know, Nico.
He
don't
did
know
an interview
that.
After the fact. He didn't seem bothered by it. I'll tell you, it seems hard to me to be T.I. doing that. I can't stay up there and get booed by 10,000 people. That seems hard. I've never done that.
I've been booed before. You know what I'm saying?
We all have.
Not by 10,000 though.
Not by 10,000.
T
T.I. got a Bronx 500. That feel like 10,000. That's
rough. But yeah, let me say this. T.I., Harry said this to me. T.I. Mm-hmm. has gotten booed in one shot more mm-hmm. than you have ever gotten booed in your whole career.
Combined. Cumulatively. Cumulative. Yeah. Gross and net.
You got to be a mathematician to get that.
You ain't got to be a what, Toby?
Mathematician. You got to know that. Well, here's what's crazy. So let's move on with this expeditiously.
Hilarious. Shout out to the King of the South, though. King of the South. One of my favorite rappers.
King of the South rappers. Yeah.
Rappers.
Yes. Make that clear.
Yep. King of the South.
I was telling somebody, I don't know if I would have done the Barclays Center on April 1st. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you wouldn't have done the April Foolishness
it's a
show?
Different kind of.
I would have.
Yeah.
I would have. Yeah, man. I love that energy. And I've seen that room a couple times. Like,
yeah.
I would love. Matter of fact, hey, Rip Michaels, holler at me, brother.
Nigga, if you want to do it, I will plug you in. I will definitely plug you in with Rip.
Please do. Please okay. do.
That's done.
If the King of the South could do 5 minutes, hey, bro, let me do 10. That's all I'm from here. Didn't he a Rip?
Rip will let you do it. Rip is my man. I grew up with Rip. I came up with Rip, like, on the Black.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my nigga. But what I was saying to people is that there is a there's certain styles that lend itself to that kind of audience. So first of all, they're not. They don't have the comedy etiquette. Second of all, it's 15,000 people. You don't necessarily have their attention. There's an anonymity of like you heckling doesn't you don't. It's not a face off between you and one dude.
Yes,
it can be, but it could be. You know what I mean? There's motherfuckers that came there for the chicks. There's motherfuckers that came for the drinks. Somebody bought, like, so it's not a, if you have a, here's the thing about your comedy, very nuanced. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you've been doing it 15 years, and so you've challenged yourself to deal with the nuance of comedy.
Yeah.
Those audiences don't necessarily get the nuance. Because in order to get the nuance, you have to pay attention. And then there needs to be a solidified kind of thing that this is. It's a big difference if you're doing the Barclays Center and they came to see Nico White, which I don't doubt. Let me open for you when you do that, because I know it's coming. All right?
Dante, damn it, if it happened, you can go. I'm put you out there first to warm them up. Damn it, it happened.
But you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a nuance of sometimes the comedy is too sophisticated for the audience.
I get what you're saying, right? But I have to be honest. I don't agree 100%. Just because I watched pieces of that show, right?
Right,
and again,
right.
I've been before. Like they're there for the jokes. All you gotta do is satisfy them, right?
Yeah,
if you don't satisfy them, you will get met with their dissatisfaction immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, they don't give you a
happened.
Big window to satisfy.
Yeah, yeah.
They give you a window. But
they give you a nice window, especially when you look at when you look at what's happened at that show. But like, those people pay good money. They come out, they get
that's
dressed
a good point.
Up. Like,
that's a good
it's,
point.
It's Black people spending their money to have a good
right,
time.
Right, so they like, want to have a good time.
They come there for that. If you mess that up, that's on you, because they literally niggas came there. Like they sitting. Yeah. That's why you. If you do get booed, that's why they booing so hard. It's like, nigga, come on, bro.
Yo, I spent all this
I
money.
Got my girl.
This
I spent
outfit.
This money I got
this outfit on.
Because you ain't want to get clowned at the show, and then you know the New York energy. If you get at least three people from Harlem, where I'm from. I mean, they boo with the Apollo just in their heart. It's in their DNA.
Dude, you know what's funny? I say that all. I use that as, like, and this goes to stay out of this, Harry. But this goes to the trauma of Black folks. Mm. We're the only group of people that created a show to boo people who are trying to follow their dream by people who don't have a dream. Like, if you go to the Apollo, I've gone, throughout the years, maybe about 6 or 7 times, I've been there where I've go, like, God damn, y'all, can somebody perform? Because the intention is to boo your ass.
Right. Man.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
All good. I was going to say where I feel like the intention starting out was probably way more pure than that. But you know how it is with the kids. They only see certain things on TV. So if all you saw the Showtime at the Apollo was people getting booed, then that is what you go for. And then if you go to the Apollo, you know, the TV host ain't usually the host, because amateur night still happens every Wednesday. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that person creates that vibe. So I think this is before I started, but they used to have it to where they wouldn't boo, like they boo anybody, right? Then they made a rule where you can't boo kids. Right. So the Apollo, like, amateur night can be tough because
they had to make a rule. They had to make a rule.
Don't boo the kids.
Well, don't boo the kids.
Don't boo the
kids. But again, you gotta think about it, bro. A lot of the time, you got people coming in. They bring the people from out of town. People be bored just being there watching shit they're not interested in. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, we created that show, but I'm sure that the mission of that show wasn't to make it as like dangerous as it is. And then we all do stand up. There's sometimes where you go, it would be good if somebody would boo in here every now and again.
I would rather keep some people honest.
I
think the silence is, you know, when you watch a motherfucker go 10 minutes in silence.
I think silence is worse than a boo.
No, I don't agree, bro.
You ever been booed?
Not like, by a whole audience, stage, no. Actually, no. I don't think I've been booed once, but watching it, I feel like you could fight back. See, you could fight back and scream at the audience when you're booing.
You feel
when
that,
they're raucous,
right?
When they're raucous, you can fight back. When it's silent, that's rough. There's nothing to push against. I have been booed, and it was a lot easier.
I apologize for that, too.
Nico, the booing was fine. Throwing the fruit is unnecessary at me. The tomatoes.
No.
I'm joking, Nico. I meant you. I would say Nico. Why did you have to throw the? Yeah.
Because you need the vegetables, man.
That's true.
Back then, you couldn't get no vegetables in Harlem anyway. You could get the lemon.
You ain't lying.
I'll say that the few times that I've been booed, the one time was at a Chicago theater. It was fucking nuts. But I was fighting back with them, and that, to me, I don't even remember that. Whatever. That's just an incident that happened, because every once in a while you fight back with them, and you can win them back, or even if you don't, you still go out. When it's silence and all you hear is your fucking voice reverberating off the fucking
when you hear the bartender scoop the ice out of the
I'll tell you the word.
The fucking lights buzzing.
Lights buzzing, and the only thing that may be equivalent to that is when you hear the AC kick back on, like it's silent, and then you hear the AC or the heating unit turn on again, because it's been that long. That's worse than getting booed.
Hearing the drinks getting dropped down on the table and shit at your punchline if they ain't responsible. true torture. That's like taking your pants down. Baby girl's like, oh.
This is what we doing?
You could have kept those on. I liked you better before.
There used to be a comic. Do you remember Danny McDermott?
I know that name.
Yeah, he used to run the underground up on 106, that little room on the and that dude used to climb, like he had a joke. So the you know the underground that had that rough wall in the back? Yeah. He used to do this thing about 90s songs being about stalkers. I always feel like somebody's, and he used to climb the wall he would bomb. But he would climb the wall all the way to the top, look over, and then he would jump down, and you would be like, oof. And he would commit to climbing the wall. He would rock climb the wall and just, anyway, fuck it.
Shout out to him, man. I had a joke that used to bomb. I kept doing it for a while.
Yeah.
It was about the Cambridge police, and I used to fall in the joke, right? And this one day I fell, and I was on, Donnell was hosting. I fell, and it didn't get a reaction, right? And like you could tell, like, the mic hit my knee when I fell. I get off stage, Donnell, and that nigga fell and everything. Y'all looked at him on the floor. I was like, nah, we still ain't fucking winning. Ooh, shout out to Cambridge police. That joke died that night.
Neek, what? How's the ladies doing? What's going on? Because here's the one thing about Nico. Nico has always had a sense of self-worth that I thought was amazing for as young as you were.
Thank you.
What was that, mom, or what? How did you get there like that?
Mom, grandma, and pops, man.
Yeah.
You
and your pops was around, like, too. Your pop was around you, or you grew up with him, or no?
Yeah, I mean, grew up with my pop.
In the same house?
Not for the longest time, but I always had pop, you know what I'm saying? Always had a good relationship. And it was one of those things where my dad was the type of dude that he very much felt however he felt whenever he was feeling it, right? Okay. Well, feels. Like, when he in his emotions, he in them, positive or negative.
Right.
And my mom is like, what's the word I'm looking for? Bleeding heart, like big heart, right?
Okay.
And they trained me from young to like set your parameters. Like, people that you let around you do have to fit the parameters that you set up, and it's okay to make them fit those parameters. And if they don't, be fine with being just with you.
Right,
and for the longest time, like, man, I remember growing up, it was easy to be like just over here doing my own thing because most people were leaving me alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then as I got older, as far as women are concerned, it's easy to pick who I want in my space and who I don't.
You got any brothers?
Yeah, sister? I got an older brother.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just one.
It was, I always thought that was, I remember you did the show years ago.
And yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, and I've been talking to you, I remember thinking how comfortable you were in your own skin. You did the show. You were young when you did the show, too. I mean, I don't even think you were 20 when you first did the show.
Ooh-wee.
How old are you now?
I'm 28 now.
Shit.
Yeah, man. The
fuck.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers is growing up on the show. God damn.
I know.
I'm telling you.
We got people growing up. We've got some guests that have died. I mean, it's, you know, when you do 10 years, life moves on. They don't give a shit about our podcast. The universe moves forward.
Yeah. But I remember thinking about, saying, man, this is a young dude that's really, really comfortable in his skin. And I always say, you know, one of the things that I always say is, if you think about great people in history and in life, who's their best friend? Like, who's Muhammad Ali's best friend? Who's Michael Jordan's best friend? Who's Bruce Lee's best friend? And I'm not saying that you can't name people, friends that they fuck with.
Yeah.
But all of those individuals in that greatness, there's a loneliness in that greatness. You know what I mean? It's you cannot achieve the level of success you want without a level of selfishness, not in a bad sense, but that your achievements, your goals, and your happiness has to be important, more important than anything else.
And to the second thing that Dante just said about your happiness being more important, it's literally that, dog.
Yeah,
it's literally that. To where, and I say this and I mean this.
Mm-hmm.
I walk the path of the life that I chose, right? So everything I'm doing is something I decided. I was 14, a baby decided, I really like this joke shit. I really, really, really like it. I'm going to do that. That comes with certain things. And I made certain decisions that didn't even have to be made. I remember when I started, I said, I ain't never going to mess with no comedians, right? Here we are all these years later. Hard as it could be sometimes.
Yeah.
Still to this day. Clean of comics.
Right.
Yeah.
Clean
same here.
Of them.
Same here.
Right?
Yeah.
Why did you decide that, out of curiosity?
Bro, I was coming in the clubs and I would see how the adults were talking about each other, but they were friends.
You know what I mean? About everybody.
I never understood that. Then you see people in these loving relationships that claim to be loving, and then you see them separate of each other, and
you watch it all go down.
A couple years, and I'm like, ugh, I would never want this.
Yo, let me tell you a quick story. Just makes me
laugh. Fix your camera, Dante. Sorry.
Fucking Kareem. You know, Kareem was married to his wife was in comedy. I'm not gonna say her name or anything. But after Kareem and her broke up, she went on the ramp, like all of her material was about Reem, and he did da 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 da. Now, we all know Reem is a fucking beast, right? But he loved his wife, and he kept like like
I'm trying to keep it civil.
Yeah. And then he said something or another, and Kareem
it was
said,
the final straw.
This is the joke that I lost. Kareem said, you know, people say you are what you eat. So my wife must eat stink pussy. And I
said, that's...
And I was like, oh, you leave that beehive alone, goddamn it.
What I like about that is it's mean, but the joke structure is proper.
Perfect.
Just perfect joke structure. No
the edit on beast. That. You can't it's edit that. You can't edit it's a that. Beast.
No, not at all. You tell that just the way it's said every time, and it's perfect.
You can read it off paper. There's no nuance. Bang! Yeah. That's strict. I still pee my pants.
This is how good it is, man. And to y'all listening, make sure you look up the person you talk about. This is how funny it is. You said it, you delivered it from, because you know, like there's multiple Kareems out here, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as you got to the word, I was like, I know exactly which Kareem you're talking about.
oh, you didn't know who I was
Kareem
talking about
Green.
Originally?
Yeah.
Of course it is, but again,
Kareem Green.
You could have told me that line and not even mentioned everything else. I had to say Kareem.
Yeah.
Kareem is a beast. He's great, man.
Big time.
I guess there is dudes. It's a weird thing with so Kareem has proteges now, I guess, right? Like dudes who are.
Yes, man. That's the craziest and kind of the best part of like having some perspective now is being able to see that. You know what I'm saying? Being able to see like offshoots of like
of other people.
Yeah, but like of my generation. Cause look, man. Starting now, you think that only happens for like y'all, and you know what I'm saying?
Look, like, I don't even think of it like me. I mean, I think of it like Patrice, David, Tell. You know what I mean? That.
But right. So boom, even that. Cause I kind of lump all y'all together in that. So that being said. I was so used to seeing that. So you go like, we'll never, you always want to be those guys. You never think it'll happen. Right. Then when you go around and you start to see, hold on, wait, that's that DNA and how this person's delivering. That's so-and-so. That's so-and-so. Holy shit. That sounds like me.
Yeah. I here's a funny thing.
It's crazy.
I remember, here's something that bugs people out when I say this. I remember talking to Ted Alexandro, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Ted, who inspired you as a comic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you could, do you know this or you don't know this?
For who inspired me?
No, Ted Alexandro.
Oh, his history? Yeah, come on. That's the reason we get to make a couple dollars.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, comedy-wise, artistic.
Yeah, I know Ted, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so he said, I always admired Todd Barry
and
Dane Cook, which is, if you think about the connection of that, Todd Barry's that low energy, Dane Cook is that, so Ted is like a physical...
Mm-hmm.
Low, like you, like how do you even put that together? You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't even think that would that would manifest itself in the way that it did, you know?
100 Look, I similar to that. Bernie Mac is one of my goats. You understand? Mm. And I never would have guessed that one of his like his top five, and it had Don Rickles in it.
Really?
You could have gave me, yeah, you could have gave me 100 chances to name 100 comedians. I never, ever, yeah. ever would have picked Don Rickles. Then once he said it,
you go,
and then you actually watch. It.
Yeah,
it's so there. Like just little shit that he would do. You go back and watch Don Rickles' old videos. Watch what he does with his eyes. Then you watch Bernie, just stare the camera down, bring his eyes back. The inflect. Yeah. What? And then you see Don Rickles joning on people. All that shit. Yeah.
That's dope.
Tommy, I'll keep you here forever.
So here's, and so I was saying that you one of the dudes that like just always had kind of was really comfortable in your life. I remember when you did the show and you were talking about, look, I'm not like if I'm not something that I say. I forget how you said it in your own words, but I was like, I don't do awkward.
Yeah, no, like,
I'm not. Mm-hmm. If you're making it difficult for me,
yeah, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
What got you to the point where you thought that? Like at such a young
I had a couple girlfriends try to tell me how they were gonna kill themselves if I didn't do X, Y, and Z. And I got to the point of, all right, you gonna have to do it now. Because you can't keep telling me, nah, because fuck that. You can't keep telling me, driving my mind. Now I'm telling you, I would be at shows.
I'm gonna kill it. Wore you out. She's like, I'm gonna kill myself if I don't get to pick the movie tonight.
I'm gonna get blamed. They're gonna say I did all this crazy non-realistic shit. Man. And then I'm like, but I don't need that. I could just say no, and it don't gotta be this way.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna cut this off. And then I decide to keep all energy like that. I cut off even my personal space. Like, if I'm cool with everybody. I'll speak if you speak. No left-handed handshakes, none of that. But I'm not. I don't like awkwardness. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of those people. If we're gonna have good energy, let's have good energy, or let's not even talk.
I'm
fine alone. I'm fine being over here. I mind my business deeply. If you want to be awkward, say that shit for say that for the judge, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird, you know. I'm 55 now, and I always say, I've seen more sunsets than I'm gonna see, and I'm not wasting them on no nonsense. And I mean, I wish I had learned that sooner.
Yeah,
you know. Elevation of my maturity and understanding that time is the commodity, wealth and prestige and material things. None of those things can be attained without time. And so wasted time takes away your opportunity to achieve all these other things that fulfill your life. But initially, I remember I was around 30, 35, and I was like, I'm no longer going to let people that take something from my life, from my existence, and give nothing back. I'm gonna start eliminating those people.
Yes, fact.
And if they're neutral, that's fine.
That's fine.
But then what I realized, the next iteration of that was, now I need to remove the people who are neutral.
Neutral.
Because
neutrality is still carnivores of time.
Yes, and
no return.
Yes, and when you neutral, you still a part of the war.
Yeah.
So you ain't helping me. You ain't an ally. You sitting here watching me fight. And again, if I wanted somebody to watch me fight, I'd stand in front of the audience.
Right.
I don't need friends like that.
Right.
Either you with me or you not. Because what you just mentioned, man, I had to do that with my circle in 2020.
Really?
I realize, man, look, you know how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes your mama will tell you something and the shit won't punch you until it shoots you, right? So my mom is she's born in, she'll hate me for saying it, but she don't look her age. She was born in 59, right?
Okay.
And mama told me something last, right after the pandemic. She said, She said, I don't know how you're going to take this, but don't tell everybody your good news. I said, why? Because she had only ever heard me, you know, like talking to friends. She said, don't tell everybody your good news because they ain't all happy for you. She said, now you'll mess around and say something and you don't know. You just, you know, you, she said, you like me, you speaking from your heart, but they hear that and they'll pray on, you know, she believe in all that. Like they'll sit down and they'll pray on you and they'll pray on you. Information is vital. Don't tell them shit. I thought about that. Then I started seeing patterns pop up. People that were friends.
Right.
Now, when I'm not, I'm going through my own shit. I can't get no space to go through my shit because I got to go through their shit or go back and go through their shit.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, oh, wait, nah, that's not how this works. So that same thing that I apply to relationships about how I don't do awkward.
Yeah.
I need to bring that over here and then come to find out. Yeah, there were some snakes in the grass. Yeah, but we caught most of those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, I've always realized that that so as much as I've become, I've evolved in a sense of, and I'm 55, so I've evolved in a sense where I eliminate, like I cut the snake's heads off. But I've learned to understand that to be more understanding of where it comes from. Like, first of all, you know, like I, you know, I grew up with my dad, but my dad was dad was born 1920, right? Right, and he was the youngest.
5 years for my grandma. What?
Right, right, and well, he was the youngest of 16 kids. So I got I had an aunt that I grew up with that was in 1896.
That's
was
crazy.
Born. So like, and my grandmother is before that, you know. So, and I understand because you know I had cousins even when I was like eight. I had cousins that was 60. But so the my issues that I had with my dad was. You know, I had to look at it in retrospect of he grew up in 1920. He grew up in Jim Crow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Historically, we're talking about segregated, separate water fountains, Jim Crow. So the fact that he didn't have the ability to teach me self-fulfillment because he was too much surviving, just trying to survive. You have to take that into consideration, and that's what gave me relief about his inability to.
Can we get that? Like, and I don't even need it for me.
Right,
can you get that clip just now and put it up somewhere?
Because
you just described a lot of things. You ain't just described how you was raised. Yeah. You just described the people that grow up in what's called the hood and all that shit. People get traumatized by situations they have no control of and then start putting responsibilities on things. And it's like, I'm from what people would call the hood, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realize quick, it's like, oh shit, it don't gotta be this way. Somebody told y'all this is how this is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
thus you've kept it that way.
But it's also a situation
they can't see
beyond that too. Yes. So it's like perspectively when you go, well, just it's sort of like the bird cage being open and the window open and you can't and you like just fly out and they go, What do you mean?
Just fly out. Just don't, like, you'll say simple shit. Look, man, I got younger family that you try to talk to and shit. You be like, yo, you know, y'all can talk about this thing that you're ready to kill for, right? And the thing that a lot of them will come back to as far as like their relationship with their parents is, I understand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they only understand it when they're with themselves. They don't understand it when they're talking to that parent. You know what I'm saying?
You lost me.
Got you. So remember how you said you understand how and why your dad couldn't teach certain things because of what he was going through?
Right.
So coming from places like where I'm from in Harlem, right?
Right.
You have a lot.
Where you from in Harlem? Where about?
I'm East Side. So all the shit that Jim Jones and Dipset rap about.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay. So I've been able to see what these types of environments can do to people and what that lack of understanding of how and why can do to the kids.
Right.
What you just explained. Now, mind you, like you said, you're a 55-year-old man, but that's freeing for you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
For the young kids that feel like that, that's freeing for them because they get to have that relationship with their pop. But a lot of them, they don't get that because it's like, well, fuck what you going through because I'm going through this and ain't nobody here to show me blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, y'all take that message and chop it up. People need to hear what you just
said. And what, you know, I think what people are not not also understanding, it's not just the trauma passed on, but it's your personal trauma on top of the inability, the trauma of, you know, beating your kids and all, you know what I'm saying? They're all this trauma on top. And so, you know, I have a good friend of mine who, Brooklyn Cat, grew up 80s, 90s, a couple years older than me. He fell in every trap that you could smoke crack, did heroin, sold drugs, got locked up, penitentiary, armed robbery, you name it, he did it.
He done it. Yeah.
Foster care, boom. And then he works as a counselor for youth kids doing substance abuse. And I called him up one day I was like, dog, I want you to understand something, that you are an X-Men, dude. Like every trap that you could possibly, you fell in and still came out. Like this dude has a house and a car and a job. Okay. And so I was like, you don't even understand how extraordinary it's like, I mean, I navigated, walked through the raindrops, and I mean, I got caught up in shit here and there, but I navigated.
You didn't get all of them.
Dog, he stepped in, he hit every pothole. That was
all the raindrops fell on him.
And like the Incredible Hulk, he got angry and came through the other side to the point like that. People don't understand the resiliency of that. You know, there's a resiliency of that you can't even understand that this dude is actually a functioning human being.
Yeah.
Prison. I've scooped this dude up out of crack houses. Mm-hmm. Like when he would get with a chick, take her, she'd let him because he was fly too, so he get her car. Then the car would be parked outside the crack house for two weeks, and she'd be calling the cops trying to get the. And I would have to go in the crack house without her. Yo, who the fuck is you? And I was like, dog, I'm not leaving without my man. Had to pull my man out of the crack house.
Yeah.
So it's like people don't understand how deep the trauma is, and to navigate that, and how when you don't have a role model or a model to just. How it's so beyond your concept. I mean, even Harry's, you know, his family is Armenian and Mexican or something. What are you, Mexican?
Ecuadorian. Mexican. Mexican.
But, you know, like knowing his pops, negative.
Negative, dude. Yeah, I survived my dad being the most negative human being in the world. Just everything that could go wrong, just three steps ahead of all the things that could go wrong. Why you shouldn't do this, why you shouldn't do that. I mean, they were both negative. My mom is no treat either. They were both
his
negative.
Mom,
but
his mom is
worse.
Wild for the night, son. Wild for the night.
I gotta meet Miss Trajanian then, man.
Yeah, she's out of her mind.
He has a
she ain't moving fast now.
His girlfriend is from, where's your girlfriend from? Turkey or something, like his girlfriend?
Who? My dad's? Okay. Oh yeah, she's my dad's girlfriend. Is for his wife now is from Turkey. Yeah, from Istanbul. Yeah.
So
my mom calls up. What happened?
I thought you were talking about Harry.
No. She goes. Oh, Nico. Shit. She calls him up like she still torments him.
She still harasses my dad. Leaves voice messages and she goes, "Assalamu alaikum, Sultan Harry."
Sultan.
That's beautiful.
And then listen, you have your harem.
You were with there with your harem. You were there with your harem. I know it's Ramadan.
To this day, and he sends me the messages, and they are the most hilarious. Assalamu alaikum, Sultan Hari. Listen, she called him up. They have some small business that they got to take care of just because they had property. And just she uses that opportunity to harass him every time. We've asked her to stop. We've told her to stop. She's out of her fucking mind. She won't stop.
Yeah, sure. He's asked her to stop, but that shit is a part of his day now, too. Like, stop.
Now it,
it
is.
If she didn't do it, he'd be hitting you like, yo, your mom good? She all right? I ain't heard from her.
I think they're past that now.
This is past that. This is that one that's not that. She is out of her fucking mind to the point where, listen, I might end up doing on one of those fucking Dateline series, you know, those true crime stories if it goes down. She has threatened to kill him on. They'll use this clip, by the way. She has threatened on several occasions.
Let me fix my lip there.
Publicly and privately to murder him. But, you know, she's Ecuadorian, so it's a 50-50 shot.
Your father give me herpes. And he goes, well, did you?
What, do you have
that
herpes?
That means you have herpes. No, I don't have it, but he gave it to me.
Your father. He left me penniless on the street. I go, that didn't happen. I was there. I lived in that house.
You have an apartment.
You're standing in your house right now.
Out of her fucking
mind.
Shout out to the goat, man.
Yeah, the goat. She is the goat. The goat of crazies.
You had him with all of your contrabands.
If I can pull one up. Hold on.
Yo, I want somebody to think I got a harem. That's what I want.
She's off to her. But it's,
she did. Hold on. She did call the city on my dad's house saying that he ran a whorehouse in the basement. Legit. That's a shoot. Legit. My dad had to get a phone call from the city going, yeah, we got a phone call that you're running a brothel in your basement. Goes, what?
I said, hell yeah, I am. Now come check it out. 300 for 20 minutes.
Hey, Nico, any girl now? You got a chickie now? You don't, oh, no, you're doing dolo.
No, I'm dolo, but I am dating. So, ladies, if you want to holler at me, holler at me. I have no time, and you cannot borrow money for at least 2 years. That is a standard rule. I ain't lending you nothing. You know, with that, holler at me.
You know what's funny too, Nico? When you make these standards, like people, like the comfort in which you say that, right, makes it okay. Like, do you understand what I mean? It's like if you're willing to be honest about, I remember this years ago. When Tony Rock first started doing comedy, which has to be, he probably is doing it about 18 or something like that now, 17, 18 years or something like that. But I remember when he first started, he was like, look, you want to hang out? You can meet me at the club where I'm doing shows because I'm trying to get this time. I'm trying to do this thing. So if you want to fit into that, you can fit into that. And what's interesting is how women find a man attractive who don't give a fuck about them. And I don't mean, you know what I mean? I don't mean don't give a fuck about him.
I know exactly what you mean.
That your goal is, your goal and your ability to achieve those goals are more important than them.
Yeah.
Because if you're easily distracted by them, by even them, then you're a pussy. Then
in my last like 6 years, definitely that thing has come up so many times. Just like, look, I ain't got but so much time. I'll be able to see you this day, but then it might be cold for a minute. But I'm gonna see you and it might be cold for a minute. It's come up that I didn't break what I said and that I stuck to everything I said at the top, and it comes off complimentary that first time, right? Then after about that third time where it's like, oh, nah, it's, he meant what he said. Yeah, right. All that.
Oh,
all
yeah.
This is a...
That's for real. Yeah.
That's Miranda rights right there. For everybody.
Right.
And then if it's cool and you keep going, then cool. But most times, like after that third one, it's like, really? So ain't no? Mm-mm. Really? Mm-mm. Nope. Sorry. Well,
let me ask you this, but even when that line is indelible, you still could slide in. They still float in, you know.
They definitely can.
And they do.
I for me anyway, I ain't open like what's the phrase we use? My nose ain't been wide open in a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? I ain't been like just I ain't been in love in a minute. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I ain't letting
that. That's not true, because you've been in love with this thing called comedy for a long time.
Long time. Yes, sir.
And I think that you have to respect somebody. I hate to see a dude that treats comedy like a side bitch.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's like
in the green room when they're talking about I got two gigs on.
I can't take it. You don't get it. I can't take it. The shit. Couple things that make me angry, right? Because I don't know if you guys watched wrestling growing up,
crazy? Yes.
Ric Flair, to beat the man, you got to beat the man. You got to beat the man, right?
Absolutely.
So. For me, like, little phrases like that always stuck since I first heard them as a kid. Yeah, but, like, I would see comics that had what you call regular real-world jobs, right? Like, they were gainfully employed. Gainfully. Comedy was not their primary source of income. Now, for me, comedy being a primary source has always been the case, right?
Yeah.
So I would hear these folks talk about comedy and bitch about it. Oh, this is the worst ever. Is this, is that. And I'm like, hold on, wait now. How much of this provides for your life? Then you find out, oh, nothing. Oh, okay, well, it makes sense that you feel this way. Mm. Oh, you can be inactive for X amount of time. Oh, okay, I get that, but damn it, we aren't the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Live and die by the good or bad or whatever this playing field is. It's like, but y'all just playing on the field. Right, and some of y'all just playing because you want to say, oh, I do. But do you? Yeah. You need licenses, man. You need licenses or like,
well, you know,
like
what? I'm going to tell you something. I've had a job my whole, like I'm getting ready to retire in another 3 years.
Hey, congratulations.
But you have never not.
I've never seen you on stage.
I don't think Nico's talking about that. I think he's talking about people talking about bitching about comedy. One foot in, one foot out. And then taking it for granted.
Bitching about it.
One
of the people that I had to cut off used to tell me all the time that he knew the struggle of a professional comic, right? Because when bro was something that happened in like was on unemployment or something like that. But I'm like, yeah, but stand-up wasn't your living then. It was never your primary living. You don't know that feeling. You don't know what that's like. You don't know what that, if I don't get this, if this don't go and this don't go, if this snow falls too hard, damn it, I know that weekend over.
Yeah.
You don't have to think
you
about
don't live
that.
Like that.
Your money is guaranteed, which is not a bad thing. But also,
then don't bitch.
Don't bitch, because comedy ain't do nothing to you. You's gonna have to pay your bills anyway.
Right.
You's gonna have
with
to go
with this
to
or
work.
Not with that. Yeah.
And that, drop the mic on that. You're gonna have to pay your bills anyway.
Well, you know
it's not comedy's fault.
Well, what's real interesting about that is, so like when I was doing the male stripper thing, it was a really easy transition for me because it's the same business. You create your character, you market your character, your ability to work and to market that character, and how good you are is how you make your money. I ended up working with the phone company because I had some chick I was smashing work for the phone company. She said they giving a test, and I said, all right, well, I'll get dental, you know, and I ended up doing it, and it ended up being money. That I like the money was way better. Like when I hit top pay, it was way better. Yeah. But I was so bit by the bug. Like I was telling Harry prior to the COVID, I've never not done comedy for more than 2 weeks. I've never had more than 2 weeks off.
Right.
In 21 years of doing comedy.
See.
Whether or not I worked, I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I worked 7 to 4 every day, worked weekends, overtime. I would work overtime, sneak to the club, do a spot, and then
finish
be back.
Right.
But I've also watched dudes take, you know, these dudes would take a break.
Yeah.
Like you take a break, and Doug, you don't understand that this game, so your success, even I'm talking about you personally, your success mm-hmm. has a lot, yes, it's your ability to be better mm-hmm. and grow, but it was also the consistency of that.
Yes. Yes. If being stop, present.
It doesn't work. It doesn't wait for you.
Yes. You can't be absent from class, man. And if nothing else, whenever there was a position open, I was there. I'll tell anybody anytime, whenever I come up.
I ain't gonna lie, dog. You was, as long as I can, from the day I saw you, the day I met you, I never did not see you. You know what I mean? And it just,
that's all I'm saying.
Even for a dude to me who like was kind of, you know, older and, you know, it there's a certain amount of admiration that you have for somebody who respects the game, respects the art like you do, and you've never, ever, ever not been that way. And
dog,
and that's what I love about you. That's what I mean, when I see you, you know there's a
always love. This is the thing. Y'all hear that thing in Dante's voice? He can't get the words out. You gotta remember, he's 55, like you mentioned. Older black people. All this love, it stutters them up quick. You know what I'm saying? So just know that.
It's
know
the cholesterol. Can't get it out.
But yeah, man, always. And I appreciate you for not only showing love, but you did me a solid that I appreciated. I put a thing out in 2020 called Dark Out.
Dark Out
is a special where I took a risk. There was, you know, audiences were illegal. We did it in a music studio, just a blackout curtain, whatever. And I've been, Lord knows I couldn't get any press for it. Reach out to everything that does write up some comedy, not at all. I had asked you to watch. I said, hey, man, check it out. You took the time out your day to check it out. Yeah, so appreciate you for that.
Yeah, I posted it too. I posted it on my story and, you know, and tweeted it out and stuff. I mean, you got it, man, because it's real motherfuckers that you want to see. I mean, you really want to see motherfuckers that are in the game for the game that you want to see them succeed.
And for the right reasons and give a shit about it.
And if you're listening to the show, man, like we need more people in the industry that are actually about comedy.
Yeah.
But like for real, you going to school and you want to do something dope. There's so much actual dope, unseen talent running around here.
Yeah.
You could make all the money.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
It's all out here. It's all out here. And people got nothing but ideas. If you're listening to the show and you one of those type of motherfuckers, there's some business out here for you.
Yeah. And now, the game is so wide open that there's so many avenues. Nico, I don't want to, let me interrupt you because you got to get out of here.
Shoot. Yeah.
What do you want to plug? Plug whatever you want to plug.
Got you. So, folks, please make sure to check out my album. It is called Marcellus, MARSCELLUS. That is from a live show I did back in 2019. Then you can check out my latest special. It's called Dark Out, DARKOUT. That is on YouTube. And it's completely different material, completely different hours. If you want to go back to my older work, check out my first special, Introducing Me, that I put out in 2015. And outside of that, keep your eyes peeled, because damn it, I'm going to be announcing something.
Congratulations, my nigga. Can I say it or no? Can I say it? Because you know it's floating around.
Well, what's floating around, Don?
Come on, man. Pete Davidson and Friends.
Hey,
Nico's going to be on Pete Davidson and Friends.
Hey, man.
So happy to Amazing. Hear that you was hey, on that, man. Dog.
Hey,
you know, because Pete's one of my little, you know, was my shorty too. So
come on, bro. Come on, man. I'm even go extra 5 minutes. Don't get me started.
All right.
If I tell you how crazy it is, all right. So you were there. You were fucking there.
For what?
The Little Rascals of Comedy Show.
Yes.
Pete Davidson, Nico White, Jordan Rock, Matt Richards, Nick Alexander, Shantae Williams, right?
Wow, yes, yes.
That's a pretty
Cheo Williams,
lineup.
Shout out to Cheo. Well, nigga, what?
Yeah.
So that was that in 2011, right? On that show.
You remember what happened? Fucking.
I remember
with
exactly
Jameek,
what happened.
Jameek
I remember
was,
all that.
All right, tell it, Nico. Hold on, let's hear it real quick before you got to go.
Nigga, Derrick Gaines ended up closing that show, right? And Matt Richards, my bad. Derrick Gaines went on at the end of that show, right? Derrick's doing Then, sure enough, me, Pete, and I want to say Jordan went over to Broadway Comedy Club. The other people that are doing it just so happened to be there. That was in 2011. Funny how, you know, full circles and things.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought, huh?
Well, he was, at the time, Pete was getting heat, and he asked for a copy of the set. He had a good set.
Of his tape, yeah.
And then Jameek was like, yo, just like really, like, you know, and Pete was a little skinny kid, and Jameek was like, yo, you can't be, yo, I'm going to tell you right now. And I was like, dog. He's 17 years old. Like, if you're talking about contracts, and then he was, because he came, you know, Pete was like, yo, this guy's acting like he's going to fuck me up, right? Do you remember? Were you there for that,
Nick? I was there for that. We came downstairs. It was Times Square Arts Center when they had the little green room in the, side area. I came downstairs.
Yeah, I remember
we,
that.
Nigga,
yeah.
We just got off the elevator.
Harry, you was there too?
I wasn't there that night, but I remember Times Square Arts Center.
And I remember walking in because Jay is tall. So he was standing up. I want to say you were sitting down, and I remember the word soliloquy being used.
Well, I said, you talking about this whole soliloquy about...
See? I'm telling you, I got an elephant's memory. I'll never forget that night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the best one-off show that we ever did, and whoever has that tape...
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Do you have some shit on your hands? I literally just wish I had that DVD. I want to see that show.
And I remember that. I just remember feeling like he was pushing... He was just trying to rough up Pete and
Davis,
Pete was like, this guy's trying to, I was like, dog, why don't you back the fuck up? Are you not your fuck?
I need to see that episode. y'all do that one, call me first, please.
Yeah, you know, I ain't gonna let y'all niggas get bullied. I was never gonna let that happen. That's not something that's gonna happen. Nico, man, thanks for doing the show, bro. I appreciate you. Nothing
family,
but
truly, I appreciate y'all. Nothing but that.
You know what it is.
Nothing but that. And like I said, we get Barclays. Remember what you asked for. I'm gonna call you.
All right, I'm coming.
All right,
I'm coming. All right, family. Love.
Oh, I love you.
All right, see you, Nico.
Harry, see you later.
Always good, Nico. Good to see you, bro.
Always.
Salam alaikum, Sultan Hari.
Sultan Hari.